Nothing I enjoy more than being a walking contradiction.
Now I'm an atheist with a guilty conscience.
You are going to be editing overtime this week.
Welcome to How We Saw It. Thank you for tuning in again. My name is Mike, and as always, the Ann Landers to my Dr. Phil, the Joyce Brothers to my Dr. Ruth, Aaron.
What's up, everybody?
Oh, so how was your week leading into Christmas?
It wasn't so bad. I mean, I was expecting it to be hectic, and it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. So, and I got a short week, obviously, this week. Like, I work Monday, and then I'm off Tuesday, obviously, and Wednesday, too. So, I'm looking forward to it.
That's good.
How about
you? Oh, we had to take Finney to a specialist. He is an epileptic. He will be getting an MRI to make sure that's all he is and nothing else is major. But the neurologist basically said it's epilepsy, and that's not going to shorten his life or anything. He'll be fine.
Right.
So he'll be there to bark in our podcast for many years to come. This week, we are taking a break from our usual format. We will be skipping the hot take, and the main topic will be a little different. But the section we cannot skip.
And now it's time for everybody's favorite segment, What's Keeping You Sane?
So, Aaron, what's keeping you sane?
Well, you know, like we said in the lead, it was kind of a, you know, it was like it's leading into Christmas, so like it's kind of a hectic week anyway. But let's see, what did I do this week? Well, I finally got around to watching Mandy. And you know, you had told me to check it out, and I waited until Shudder got it, and finally got the chance to sit down and watch it, and yeah, I kind of loved it. Like, it was goofy Nicolas Cage. Like, you know what you're going to get when you put in a Nicolas Cage movie. But my friend Tomas said that it was, he felt that it was as close as you could get to documenting an acid trip. So, yeah. So there's your description of the movie if you're wondering if you should check it out. It's gorgeous to look at. And it's super over-the-top violent, which, you know, if that's your thing, it just makes the whole thing even better. I loved it. I definitely, I will be buying it and adding it to my collection. And let's see, what else about this week? You know, I got to, you are one of the things that kept me sane this week.
Aww.
So I don't remember if you said it last week after we stopped recording or if it was, you know, while we were recording, but you said you had done that town hall thing at work.
Yeah.
And you said that there were those two people that started getting into it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
which normally would kind of, you know, would have tripped your anxiety a little bit. And you said that what you did was, you know, you mentally said to yourself, like, this doesn't concern me. Like, this has nothing to do with me.
Right.
And that it had kind of immediately made you feel better. So I was like, well, shit, I'm going to try that. And I did. And I got to tell you, man, it made a huge difference. So your idea inadvertently made my week infinitely easier to deal with. So, thank you for that. And aside from that, I've been baking this weekend. Like we usually record on Fridays. This is a Saturday record. So I was up early, like doing shit. but yeah, I baked. And I've got more baking to do because, like, you know, I told you mom hasn't been in, like, the super Christmas spirit. Well, mom was making about 60 different Christmas cookies. And I feel like, you know, she's a little bummed that she's not able to do it as much this year. So I decided that I was going to take, like, 3 or 4 cookies and I was going to make those cookies and give them to her. As kind of like a, you know, I know you couldn't do it this year, so I did it for you kind of thing. So that's been my keeping me sane thus far. How about
I
you, man?
Cookies this year.
Huh?
Where are my cookies? I couldn't.
Dude, you didn't ask, did you? Like, I'll have you know that the recipes that I found are going to make way too many. So I will absolutely send you cookies if that's what you want.
Hell yeah.
All right. All right, so then you've got another Christmas present coming from me at some point.
Sweet. See, people, all you have to do is bitch.
Yep, that's right. Just whine a bunch, and I'll tell you whatever to get you to shut up.
Well, this week I watched a documentary called The Perfect Bid, The Contestant Who Knew Too Much. It's about Ted Slauson. He's a mathematics teacher, and he loved The Price is Right so much that he basically created databases of all the prizes and pricing. So, and he was able to memorize and analyze trends and all that stuff.
Whoa.
And he would constantly go to the tapings and hopes to get on it. He did get on it once.
How did he do?
He only got to the wheel spin. Yeah. He got beat at that, but he got the initial bid correct and then the prize correct. Huh. And he's gone over to more than 30 tapings. And at the end of the document, it goes through the history of how smart he is and all this stuff. And it followed to his final time he went. And he helped a person who got on stage that was like sitting next to him and he struck up a friendship with and got that guy onto the show and was feeding him bids. And at the showcase showdown, he gave him the perfect bid and he was able to win both showdowns, which has never happened in the history of the show.
Whoa.
But this guy ends up taking all the credit for it.
Yeah.
So it just talks about how Ted was really the genius behind it. And it was pretty cool.
That's pretty crazy. Where did you?
I finally started looking into Hulu. Okay. It's on Hulu.
Yeah. I'll have to check it out. We have that.
I love these types of documentaries. They're really, they can be a little sad or angering, but they're fun topics. And I encourage everyone to go out and watch documentaries that will destroy your worldview, that'll make you really sad and question life. But if you're going to do that, sprinkle it in with lighthearted ones like this, like King of Kong.
Oh, King of Kong.
That was really good. But then
are they going to have to amend that, aren't they?
Yeah, that both those guys, I forgot the main guy's name, but he was like third place now because some dude in Brazil is like blowing it out of the water. But Billy Mitchell has been disqualified for all records.
Right.
Because he was a cheater. A dirty cheater. So in this week, instead of a hot take, we got some letters from listeners. They were sent to Aaron, so I'll let him read them. So what's our first letter, Aaron?
I feel like at this point I should have like papers to crumple, so it sounds like I'm actually like fishing through letters. All right. So here we go. Here's our first one. Hey Mike, big agreement with you on Baby It's Cold Outside. Fuck Frank Lesser, Burl Ives. So that's nice. We got one from Burl Ives.
Wow.
I know. Let's see. Here's another one. Dear guys, when will Phineas become a regular guest on the show? He seems very smart, and he made for a great logo. Signed, definitely not Phineas.
What does the handwriting look like on that letter?
It's fucking messy. It's like, you know, maybe he didn't have thumbs.
Huh. Interesting.
I know.
Mike explained the ink on Finny's paw the other day.
Maybe the whole emergency vet visits were just to get you to feel guilty and put him on the show.
Oh, that's true.
He's probably conspiring with the bird. Let's see. All right. So we got two left.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Which one do I want to do first, though? They're both fun. You know what? We'll go with this one first. All right. This one's addressed to me, but you know, I'm gonna let you feel it because it feels like it's you know, kind of about you. Right. So, dear Aaron, I just wanted to say how much I've enjoyed your show so far. You and Mike have really managed to find a smart way to make your voices heard, and I look forward to what you bring in the future. However, I heard a disturbing rumor that Mike once edited out an entire rant about his dislike of furries. Now, once I heard this, I removed my fox fursuit and sat down. I simply couldn't believe it to be true. Would you please ask Mike why he feels this way? Perhaps he is fighting some feelings of interest in our fandom?
I'm not going to neither confirm nor deny if such an edit exists. And I would never slight a community of fans, of any genre. Now, what I am suggesting is maybe an island should be created. And on this island, you'd want to put up electric fences just so people couldn't escape. It's for their safety. And I'm not talking about putting a race of people on there. I'm just talking about putting people who maybe are furries onto this island. I think we should earmark the $6 billion that our president's trying to get for the Mexican wall to make an island and border wall for the furries. They can have their happy life and they can yiff all they want on this island, but maybe separate them from society. I think that's a good idea.
But where's the line? Like, you know, it starts with furries and then all of a sudden you're telling us that like store mascots have to go too.
I don't see a problem with that either.
Are you trying to tell me that people in costume creep you out?
Just a little bit. I mean, have you seen Mr. Met?
Yes.
Or the new Philadelphia Flyers one?
Grizzy
or something? Oh my Gritty. God.
Whatever.
Gritty or something? Child Murderer, I think is his real name. Like John Wayne Gacy resurrected.
But you have to kind of love it in its absurdity. Like it doesn't really look like anything. Like I've pulled similar things out of a drain.
That's where they belong. I mean, I didn't say that. That might get edited out later.
But I'll know.
I'm just saying, if you know what the word yiff means, maybe you should be separated from society. But yeah. I'm like an anthropologist, so I know what it means, so I had to explore.
You've at least looked into it once. Things.
Yes, yes. That's all I'm saying.
All right. So there you go. I hope that answers your question. All right, last one. This one's to you. All right. Dear Mike, it's the holiday season, and I wanted to sit and write you a letter expressing my confusion about some of the things you've said on your show. America is a wonderful place now, a place full of freedom and equality, a place where Christians can feel safe expressing themselves without the fear of attack by others because they make bigoted or insensitive comments. I, for one, am elated that we are finally allowed to say Merry Christmas again after so many years of being forced to say Happy Holidays. But it seems that you feel that we are the ones being oppressive to other religions and ways of life. And more personally, it seems that you just don't like me. I've heard the awful things you've said about me, and I want you to know that while I think you're an asshole, God loves you. Merry Christmas. And it's signed, Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Oh, God. Got to breathe on this one. So, the woman who sold out her faith, sold out her family, and sold out her country is telling me I'm the asshole?
Yes. If this letter is to be believed as from the real Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Yes.
I can't say I agree with your assessments. And happy holiday, you dirty fuckers. And I hope... Oh, and on my island for furries, I will put her on there where she can be the press officer for the furry community.
Oh. Look
that's
at that.
How nice. That's my holiday gift. And,
you know, I think America would thank you for that.
So I think the next time we do this, let's get some real letters out here, people. Our email address is on the Facebook page. Go ahead and send us an email and we will answer any letter anytime.
Yep. We actually talked about doing that this time and feel like we drug our feet a little too long. And didn't really give it enough time for people to be like, you know what? I'll ask something. So
procrastination. That's our call.
So you know, apparently we have fed you joke letters, but I hope you found them funny. Except for the one from Phineas. That one is apparently legit.
That's that one was legit. I think for the main topic, because it's Christmas week, we should do another rants and raves.
Okay.
You got any rants or raves you want to start off with?
You know what? I don't off the top of my head. So I'm going to let you start and I'm going to see what I can come up with.
Okay. So turn down your volume, people, because this one's going to get me mad. I'm starting with a rave because the rant's kind of fun. Or I'm starting with a rant because the rave's going to be fun. Traffic circles, roundabouts, those dirty European road things. Whatever you call them, Americans, they fucking work. Learn how to fucking drive them. They installed one in the exact spot where I was hit head on. I like to think I was the statistic that tripped them to make that circle. But the circle is only as effective as the dumbest moron who drives in it. And guess what? I almost got hit by that idiot. I was already in the circle, and they decided, hey, that car driving towards me where I want to be can't possibly have the right of way. So they decided to fucking pull out. Right in front of me, causing me to slam on my brakes. Thankfully, I anticipated that the dumb fuck, who by the way was making eye contact with me, would decide he had the right of way over someone already in the circle. Anyways, circles cut down on accidents by forcing people at intersections to slow down or yield, so accept them and realize they are important, and for fuck's sake, learn how to drive them.
That was good.
Well, and by the way, I avoid the one in Kingston at all costs.
Oh god, that one's terrible, dude.
I'm gonna admit, I just went on a rant about people being idiots.
I don't understand it either, dumb. And I don't think anyone does.
Yeah, because it says left lane to the highway.
Yeah.
But you have to jump across three lanes to get over there.
To get to it. Like, if your turn is there, you have to, like, you almost have to do, like, a full S to get into whatever lane you're going to be in, unless it's the very first one after you hop onto the circle. And guess what? Right. They're putting another one in. They're putting, if you go into downtown, like where UPAC is, you know where I mean. They're putting one there. They're cutting out that whole section and they're going to put another one in there. I can't even imagine how quickly the first accident is going to be. Or how quickly the first person gets on it in the wrong direction somehow and ends up screwing the thing up.
But they're still a good thing. So they need to exist, but I don't understand that one. And mine's one lane. The one I'm bitching about is one lane. There's no ifs or but about it. You yield to the people to the left of you, and you yield to the car that's already in the fucking circle. I hate driving anyway.
You know, I obviously, like, I think anybody that knows me knows that I can't stand driving in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day that I legitimately miss the drive when, like, we used to go before my wife and I got together, when I would come up and hang out with you on the weekends. That was the best drive ever, because I would always drive that, like, really late at night, and it was back roads, and you could, like, put the windows all the way down, and you could put the radio up, and you wouldn't bother anybody because there wasn't houses for, like, miles.
Right.
It was, like, the most relaxing drive ever. Wish every drive could be that.
That was a good drive, and nice you could pretend to be a rally car driver.
Right? Just giant view, like giant expanses of like farmland and no people.
Mm-hmm. You were blasting some poison?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I was driving in 1988.
Trans Am?
Yeah, my IROC Z.
I'll move into my rave. I've got to rave about Becky Lynch.
Oh, all right.
She's blazing her own trail in entertainment, specifically wrestling, but she is able to cross brand appeal in a way we haven't seen since The Rock or Stone Cold. She's doing this by shaking the image that was thrust upon her by the higher ups and how they wanted to paint her as this happy-go-lucky pun machine, and they wanted her to just be the foil to the bigger stars. Instead, the crowd embraced her, and through her excellent social media skills, she had a great grassroots following, which had the crowd in her corner when they tried to make her a heel. And that kind of forced management to change the plan for her, which was awesome, which never happens. Then she was hit by a stiff shot that broke her nose and gave her a concussion. But she continued on, even with that concussion, threw out and finished her story there. And then she stayed relevant and really cemented her badass legacy that way. And while she was out, she branded herself as the man and kept herself relevant in people's minds by just eviscerating the competition on Twitter. And her definition of the man is not a gender thing. It is based on the top person for what they choose to do. And that's what she is, male or female. she is the top athlete right now. And she did it all on her own. She bucked what she was supposed to do and was able to create her own image. She didn't accept the image they wanted for her. And here comes the big thing. She's inspired me to work out and become a different person. It's amazing that this story is so inspiring from her. Erin got me a shirt that is her iconic pose of after taking the stiff shot. She has a big smile on her face and blood pouring out of her nose. And that's just, to me, that's the perfect workout shirt, as you need to fight through all your doubts, all your concerns, and just strive to be the person you want to be. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you, Becky Lynch.
Do you think, because I'm fully in agreement with this as a rave. Do you think it, let's just say this was 15 years ago when there was significantly less social media of any kind. Do you think she would have been able to work up this kind of following? Or do you think that she needed that kind of grassroots social media to make it happen?
I think she would have been kind of like a Trish Stratus, where she was popular but not bending or breaking through. You know, the glass ceiling was too there. She needed the Twitter following to really get the crowd behind her and push her through. You know, Twitter really worked out as that catalyst to push her through the glass ceiling and just, you know, shower herself with the praise of everybody. You know, it's very hard to find people who had anything negative about the way she came out on top. And I think 15 years ago, not only was women's wrestling so vastly different, but without social media, there was no way to interact with the crowd and really show that she's heads and shoulders above male and female competitors. I don't think there's anyone who has that snappy social media Twitter game as she does.
I feel like it's the new promo. Like, you need to be able to cut a promo, obviously, to get yourself, you know, to get the crowd behind you. You also have to be smart at social media. Like, that's the way to get much more of a vast audience is that. And she's just fantastic at it. Like, I'm sure, like, you could follow her on social media and be entertained even if you knew nothing about wrestling. Like, she's just that good at social media. And, you know, it's funny, like I said to you, like, what speaks more volumes about the power of, like, I'll call it the women's revolution, because that's what they refer to it as, in, as far as wrestling goes. But what speaks more volumes as to the power of the women's revolution than a top of the company female wrestler inspiring a man to take control of his health again? Like, that speaks volumes. Like, it just shows that if you're a good character and people can identify with you, your gender doesn't make any difference.
No, and that's like the whole point of why she calls herself the man.
Yeah.
She's changed. And I saw another tweet from someone else that they were saying, the person said, I don't like women's wrestling. And they were like, well, then you really don't like wrestling, because there's no difference.
I saw that too. I did see that. I forget who sent it, but wait, no, it was Allison Kay, I think.
And it's true. The modern day women's wrestling is not...
it's not the same.
No, it's not even the same as GLOW or a WOW wrestling.
It's not even the same as what women's wrestling was 5 years ago.
Now, WWE still is pushing the pretty blonde and the pretty girl as the top draws, but not every company is anymore.
Most companies are pushing based on talent. Ability, yeah.
Yeah, ability and talent. And the thing is, objectively, probably fan base for wrestling is predominantly male. So that's why you're seeing women still treated as looks. But when you get right down to it, there's not many ugly guys. You know, these are people in their peak athletic condition. And the human body, when they're at that state, is a very attractive thing. So I have no problem with people saying, oh my God, Becky Lynch is really hot or something.
She is.
It's kind of the two-edged sword there, because to be a peak athlete, your body is going to be in such a way that is the definition of human attractiveness. So I don't think it's no more a slag for the females that, oh, they're just pretty people. Well, now they're pretty and talented.
Yeah.
And
now they manage to be both.
Yeah. And they're phenomenal athletes, you know. And unfortunately for them, they still are judged more on their looks than the males are.
But you're going to have that until the people running that company aren't old.
Right.
Like that's a generational thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's how you could view it, like across, like not even just wrestling. Like there's your picture of how society is. Like once that generation isn't around anymore, you will find that those things aren't as pretty, won't be quite as important. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's a bitch waiting to get it that, you know, waiting to get there, but it's getting there. I feel like, at least I hope it is.
Yeah. And I mean, the great thing about the Becky Lynch story is it's no longer like, it's not a story of you're a bitch, I don't like you.
Yeah.
I'm a bitch. I'm the top bitch.
Because that's how they used to portray it. It was, you know, every woman is catty and none of them can get along and very backstabby. And, you know, it was very much a caricature.
I mean, you can't do that anymore either, especially WWE. If you're pushing Ronda Rousey as your top female star, you can't create enough of a suspicion of disbelief if your other top stars are reality TV show stars. You know, she would decimate any diva.
Yes.
Because she's a trained fighter.
Yeah.
So,
but while we're on the subject of that, you know, here's your polar opposite. You were talking about how great Becky Lynch is on social media. Can we talk about how piss poor Ronda Rousey is on social media?
Oh, that's
Jesus.
Sad. It's like a 13-year-old's Twitter. Like she's handed it over to some high school girl.
Yeah.
To do it. And it's.
It's what social media would have looked like in like 1994.
It's embarrassing for her. You know, I cringe. I hate that feeling. Kind of cringe when you see her tweets and how juvenile and how they make it softball, you know, on a tee for Becky Lynch to respond to.
Well, and in some instances, they're really like. Like a lot of Ronda Rousey's social media stuff is a little cringeworthy too. Like by today's social, you know, socially acceptable things to say, like she definitely dips her toes into some cringeworthy water.
Mm-hmm.
Like she had a little exchange with Becky Lynch over social media that, like, you know, she got called out on and kind of called like homophobic and, you know, shaming and all kinds of stuff like that, which, I mean, if you read anything up on Rousey, like that's not exactly news. Like she's not known to be the nicest person around. But I mean, how do you feel like we're talking about a $1 billion company here? How do you run a $1 billion company in this day and age and have your, like you said, your top star, because that's what she is. Like she's being portrayed higher than everybody else. How do you justify that?
Yeah, you're exposing her. You're leaving her out there to flounder.
Well, it's not she's even not... just leaving her out there to flounder. Like it puts you in a bad light too as a company. Like if your top person is making comments like that, like how is that okay? Like, I mean, I looked at the comments and I was like, all right, you could take them one way or you could easily take them another. Like, even if you wanted to say she didn't mean them in a nasty way, you could, at the very least, you have to say that she's like socially an idiot.
Yeah, or
tone deaf. Yeah. So how is the face of a multi-billion-dollar company, do they allow that to happen?
So, Aaron, could you give us a quick riff on social media?
I feel like because of social media, we're just exposed to so much information now. And I'm just talking like, I'm talking about like world news and like, you know, just everything in between. Like, it's hard to pick and choose what's worth getting upset over. Like, it's hard to prioritize because you're just like on a constant flood of, well, I mean, like new outrage, basically. Like, it's just a constant stream of like, are you fucking kidding me?
Like, you could be choose to be outraged 24/7.
Yeah, it's easy. If you want to be mad 24 hours a day, holy shit, are you in the right era? Like, you can find anything to get mad about now. Like, absolutely anything. And it's just kind of, I don't know. It feels like a really rough way to live sometimes. Like, I go through phases with it where I'm just like, you know, you see too many news stories and, you know, you see people arguing about shit and it gets kind of infectious. Like, that level of negativity gets infectious. And yeah, it's hard to get away from. Like, it just kind of permeates you. And
some ignorant asshole with a podcast goes on about your favorite fursuit hobby.
Yeah.
And says you built an island.
Yeah, he says put you on an island. I mean, I don't know who on earth would ever say such a thing like that, but God, they must be stopped. It was a lot of fun writing that letter. I was laughing the whole damn time. The Sarah Sanders one, too. When you were like, tell me what it is so that I can prepare for it, I almost didn't want to. I wanted to be like, no, I really want to see his like. Like, I knew you'd laugh, but then I was like, but then he's going to get mad.
I couldn't prepare enough.
No, there's no level of preparation in that. But yeah, I guess, you know, like, so this is the, like, this will be the Christmas episode, right? Like, this is dropping on Christmas. So right. What better message for us to try and give off on our actual Christmas episode than to just love each other and let people live their lives, mm-hmm. you know? And if it doesn't concern you, it doesn't concern you, you know, worry about the stuff that does concern you. Like, I understand that you can multitask and people can be worried about more than one thing at once, but you don't have to go looking. Like, if it doesn't involve you in any way, shape or form, I don't know, put down the torch and pitchfork, just chill out. And worry about your own shit for a day or so, and then go back out and look and see if there's anybody else that needs help with something. Like, there's just, life is too short to be pissed off all the time.
Amen. That's definitely the sentiment.
Sentiment is dirt. But, you know, and you know, maybe some people think my opinions are dirt.
That is definitely the true reason of the holiday, is to reflect on that. And realize, hey, every person you go by has their own life, has their own person, has their own friends, has their own family. And we're all connected, and we all need to respect each other.
Yeah. None of us are getting out of here alive. No sense making things miserable for everybody else while you're here.
And in honor of the holiday spirit, I am dropping my fight against furries.
Wow.
I am accepting. They have their right to exist, and they can have their own cons. They can come to my cons. They're allowed to yiff wherever it's legally allowed to yiff.
This is amazing.
Oh, come. Yeah.
At least you didn't sing Baby, It's Cold Outside.
No, that's a totally different topic.
Yeah, still fuck that song.
So, everybody, come join us on the Facebook page. It's the How We Saw It podcast fan group. And please write us a letter. Please complain about my viewpoints this episode if you want to. I will let Aaron filter those letters so my fragile psyche doesn't have to see them. Finny will be here next week to offer his viewpoint on such topics as world wealth inequality. And the severe lack of treats in the house.
Damn, wagon tails and blazing trails.
Exactly. As always, we thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week, where we will have our own version of the top events of 2018. Because we are contractually obligated as a podcast to have an episode on the top
to do a year in the, to do a year in review episode.
Exactly. So good night, all.
Later, y'all.